Blog Talk Radio.
You are listening to the Pinckney to Pinckney Show. I am the Reverend Edward Pinckney. I tell you, this is Super Bowl Sambo week. It was kicked off on Thursday, and it kicked off with a bang. Matter of fact, my friend from Houston, Don, he definitely texted me and said, "You got it going on down there." I said, yeah, but you're doing good too. I said, "You got a million folks there in Houston." And regardless of what we do today, it all depends on what you do. And he just laughed. He just said, "Man," he said, "I didn't realize this thing was going to be like this." He said, "I had no idea that this thing would be anything like this." He said, it's just so amazing. And my friend from St. Louis, Bill, he first in, he said, "Wow." He said, "I'm on it." He said, "Yeah." He said, "Cause," he said, "this is a beautiful thing." He said, "Somebody got to call these Sambos out." And he said, "Well," I said, "that's why we're doing it. We now have 36 cities that's going to be participating in the Sambo of the Year Award and get a chance to play next year in the Super Bowl." The Super Bowl is, it's off the chain. I when I checked this morning, the guy told me, he gave me the tally of all the people, and I'm in total odds about it. And here's the thing. The Super Bowl, I elected to receive on this one. I was going to receive. I said, I'm going to receive. I'm going to let y'all kick off to me. And here's the total. For the first week of the Super Bowl Sambo contest, this is the first week, and it went off like a bang. I told you, ain't nobody going to beat my Sambo. You know, you got somebody like my letter C, the Queen Bee. And I mean that with a B, a real B. I mean that. And nobody's going to beat her. Then we got the mayor of Sambo's, Marcus Muhammad. We got him. And then we got the scumbag of the year, Dwayne Six. These Sambo, ain't nobody going to beat my Sambo. We might be a small community, but when people read their bio, they coming forward. And I tell you, I'm excited already. People have been coming and going and calling, and I stopped receiving calls. I stopped receiving calls from all these people. I know what they want. They want to talk about. They want to talk about these Sambos. I want you to talk about them. And listen to this. 10 different radio stations around the country is carrying this program today. 10 different radio stations around the country is carrying this program today. It's being replayed. It's going to be replayed all week long. And I'm excited. This is Black History Month, and here's the good news: we got 29 days in this month rather than 28, so we can call it a leap year. But I'm excited. I tell you, what we've been doing is so important. We got to call these Sambos out, and we got to call them by name. You know, one of the things my friend from Houston said, he said, "Listen." He said, the traction that he have received, and now his audience, he said, he have one of the largest audience now in the nation. He probably have more people listen to his show than my show, you know. But he played what we play on this show, he play on his show, you see. So that is really, really important. This thing has taken off, and these Sambos think they're getting away. They are not going to get away. These Sambos are not going to get away. I tell you, I'm so excited about what's going on that I must confess, I never thought in a million years a thing would be like it is. I didn't. I never thought. If you would have told me that this Sambo of the Year Award would be like it is now, I would have said no way. And also, we're having a Super Bowl with six other cities, and I'm going to give you their total shortly to let you know where we at with the thing. But the good news is I am so happy that everybody around the country now are tuning in to find out who is the Sambo who's going to win the Sambo Super Bowl. I mean, I'm really excited. I tell you, even my Blog Talk Radio, even though I cite the word Sambo, you know, we don't want to, it's a derogatory saying, which we want it to be, so we can tune these guys out. Look, I live in a small community. Benton Harbor is a very, very small community. But you know what? We have over 500 Sambos here. School board. We have Trinborn. He could be classified as a Sambo of the year. And what he's doing now, he's getting money from Whirlpool. They're funneling the money through an event so they can have money. Because most people wouldn't know that, but I know it. Then you have Ronaldo Tripley, Deshonda Robinson. These are real Sambos on the school board. And they have controlled the situation to make sure that our children don't get an education. Now, these same three people, it was four really, voted not to replace the boiler when the boiler went out last year. Last winter, the boiler went out. They voted not to replace the boiler to give our children heat. And not one single parent in Benton Harbor stood up for those kids. And we sit around here crying over something. Not one single parent. Eleanor and Angela was on the school board, but they didn't. They only two votes. You got to have at least a 4 to 5 votes to win. At least four votes to win that. And the opponent to not replace the boiler won that. How do you vote not to replace the boiler for our children and think it's all right? And not one single parent stood up and said no. You know, that is really, really, really important. That's why this is so important. We got to call these clowns out. They have an event here called Riverfest with Sharon Henderson. Now, that's a real Sambo, too. She just wasn't in the top three, but she's a real Sambo. She's a Sambo of Sambo. She's been a Sambo for a long time. And the thing was, Whirlpool, what they do, you have an event, they buy up the tickets. They'll go get a bank or someone to buy some, and they funnel a lot of money through there. That's how they give them money underneath the table, and all you have to do is have a 501c3, and that's how they deal with it. And then we got this incident with City Hall. This block grant money. Now, that's crucial. You see, what the mayor of all Sambos, Marcus Muhammad, did, he went out and they gave this block grant money, $55,000. And we kind of like know who they gave it to, but they gave it to people who they shouldn't have been giving it to, who didn't have an organization, who didn't have a 501c3, they didn't have no a block club. They didn't have nothing. They just gave them the money because they know how the people in Benton Harbor, you see, you know, wisdom, knowledge, and understanding has been chasing the residents of Benton Harbor. But the problem is wisdom, knowledge, and understanding is too slow. You see, these residents are too fast. You know, they always say, we run fast, but we don't run long. You see, but they outrun knowledge. They outrun wisdom. They outrun understanding. And doubt is reflecting on our children. You see, we're in what you call big trouble. Big trouble. Big trouble. We're what you would call big trouble, you know. And we need to let these people know. See, America, you are killing black folks, and you know it. You are killing black folks in the classroom. And you got black people that help you kill black folks. That's why we call them Sambo. You got black people working with you to kill black folks. That's right. Black folks. They're killing them in the classroom. They're killing them in the hospitals. They're killing them in the courtroom. They're killing us in the streets. They're killing us. They're killing us. Until we understand, black folks, that we have been robbed of ourselves. See, one thing about white people, you know, they get paid to think, you know, their job, they require them to think. We don't have that luxury. See, black people have been robbed of themselves. When white people can't defeat you, they will always find a sample, some butt-licking, boot-licking, buck-dancing Negro. They will trot out in front of everybody. You see, they don't understand the Black Holocaust. They don't understand from 1619 to 1861, more than 15 million Africans were sold into slavery. Over 35 million were killed. They don't understand that. That's from 1619 to 1861. 15 million Africans were sold into slavery. Over 35 million was killed by slave traders. And we got the nerve to want to be a sample. What kind of world do you live in? We need to change the way we do it, not just for ourselves. We need to do it for the future of our children, you know. And capitalism, form of racism, is an extension of belief that one human being may be used by another as a commodity. You overcome racism by speaking truth to power, the powerless and the powerful. When our power resonate, there will be a non-stop. We're going to be rolling. Racism, racism, racism is alive and well here in the United States, here in Barron County, here in Benton Harbor. Yeah, absolutely. There will come a time when black men will think for themselves. There will. Black men will think like a black man. When you attack one black man, you are attacking all black men. No state, no federal, no city court. The black man has to bring an end to this brutality. And that's what it is. It's brutality. We got to get better. You see, here's another. When evil men plot, good men must plan. Martin Luther King. When evil men burn and bomb, good men must build and bind. Martin Luther King. When evil men shout ugly words of hatred, good men must commit themselves to the glory of love. Martin Luther King. When evil men will seek to perpetrate an unjust state, quote, the good men must seek to bring into a real order of justice. Martin Luther King. You know, and remember this, as people who have been traumatized for over 450 years of abuse. That's right, 450 years of abuse, 450 years of mistreatment, 450 years of torture, 450 years of being home. And this is the part. See, these church folks, this is for you. These people went to church every single Sunday at 11 o'clock. Every Sunday. They didn't miss. See, white folks, when they get into them, they do it. And they believe, and maybe in their hearts, that they were doing the right thing. What they would do is go to church, get out at 1 o'clock. They find them a Negro, black man, to hang. Sometimes they hang the whole family. They hang the wife. If she's pregnant, they'll cut the baby out of her. This is still going on today. And we accept it. It's going to take us at least another 400 years to get this right. We're not going to be able to get it right because we got too many Sambos running around. When you have this many Sambos, this is what you get. You see. And then let me tell you how the white man operates. See, this is important. He used to, like, during that period during slavery, what he would do, he'll summon the man of the house. He'll tell the man of the house, go get your wife and bring me your wife. He used to have to deliver his wife to this white devil. He had to deliver his wife to this white devil, and he couldn't say a mumbling word. That's why black folks don't say nothing today. They scared of their own shadow. The only thing that black people going to do is shoot and kill their own. They'll kill them. You don't never hear black people killing white folks. You don't hear that. Very seldom. And the record says that. And here's the bottom line. White folks kill more white folks than black folks kill black folks. They don't want to talk about that. That's a true statement. White folks kill more white folks than black folks kill black folks. But every time a black person kills somebody, shoots somebody, it's on TV, it's on breaking news and all this kind of stuff. That's not breaking news. But we accept it. The only reason they can get away with the stuff, we accept it. The man takes his wife to the big house so the white man can have sex with her as often and as long as he wish. When he get through, he summons the black man. The black man go and pick up his wife and take her home. Then he brings his 8-9-year-old daughter. He rapes his 8-9-year-old daughter. And the man of the house brings him to the white man, the slave master. Ain't nothing he can do unless he want to die. Because you never know, they never went to jail for killing black folks. When have you ever heard of a white man going to jail? Even today, very seldom do you hear a white man going to jail for killing a black. If they do, they give him a couple of years or something like that. That's the history. That's the history of this mess. That's the history. You see? And then here's what he would do. He'll summon the man of the house to come pick up his daughter. Then he'll have him to bring his son. Then he'll rape his son. When he gets through raping his son, he'll rape him. And he'll rape him in front of everybody. They call that buck breaking. That's right. And we got nerve to walk around here and want to be Sambos. This is why the Sambo Super Bowl is so, so important. We're going to call these guys. And look, this guy, Marcus Muhammad. Now, let's talk about him just for a second. He's the mayor of Sambos. He's the mayor of Sambos. That's what he do. His wife came to City Hall to tell everybody that she didn't really, they've been married for 10 years, but she said she didn't have a husband, that she was a single mother with 6 kids. She became a woman that night. She became a woman when she exposed this Sambo for who he is. She became a woman. She said, I got 6 kids by this Negro. 6 kids by this slime ball. Kids by this Sambo, and he don't take care of them. I've never seen him with these children, not one time. I've never seen him with his children. You got to see him taking them to school or something, 6 of them. And then I guess he wrote, she's a Muslim wife, so he wrote her 2 years later. He makes the announcement after he had gotten another lady, a little girl pregnant. She was 17 when he got her pregnant. And she comes out and says that he's a good husband now, which everybody knew that was a lie. She lost her woman badge. She lost it. I know he forced her to do it. I like Iverside. I like her. You know, until that moment. She lost my support after that. I know that she probably had to do with what he said, because if you're Muslim families, that's what they do. But, and try to clean, you can't clean up garbage like that. That stuff is a stain. It's a stain on you and him forever. And by you trying to clean it up, it's a stain on you now. And you don't show no shame. You better than that, Ivasai. You a better woman than he is a man. He's out here juicing these kids. He's out here juicing these other women. And you know it. You know it. You know it. Just tell the truth. You don't live forever. God is coming for you, Ivasai. Allah is coming for you. You should go have a conversation with Minister Louis Farrakhan, because he's the one who suggested that this low-life slime ball, run for mayor. And he was at my house when he did. And I am so ashamed of that. I am. You know, I am. I'm really, really ashamed. I would never think in a million years, that something like this would be happening. It's unfortunate, but it's reality. It's unfortunate. We allow these sambos to come in and ruin things for everybody. We've been fighting over 450 years, and we are nowhere. They got them some new Negroes now. Some who gonna work. Have you ever wondered why you hear all these shooting and stuff? They never shoot at white folks. Don't that make you wonder? Are you curious about that? I am. But I know who we are. I know who these people are. But that's just the bottom half. That's that bottom 10%. We're 50 million strong. 50 million. And don't let them tell you different. We are 50 million people strong. That bottom 10% is 5 million. And that's all over the country, ghettos and all this stuff. That's who they are. But I'm not going to dwell on that. Let me give you the totals. Then I got to bring in my first guest, Belinda Parker Brown, the one and only. Belinda Parker Brown. Belinda Parker Brown. I got to bring her in. She's at a new number, but I got her. But here's the thing. Benton Harbor. My sambos, you're gonna have to do something to beat them. Right now, my sambos, the Queen Bee, my letter C's, the mayor of all sambos, Marcus Muhammad, the scumbag of all sambos, Dwayne C's. We had a total of 6,822 people voted for them. So that put us on top for now. I know that Houston is coming. Their team captain is dumb. He got 6,455. I'm not counting these votes. Tyrese from Milwaukee is doing the vote counting, and he sent us the total every Sunday morning so we can vote. Because that's when I have my show Sunday. They have theirs. One of them have it this evening, and you know, but this goes on. But anyway, Houston has 6,455. They're in second place. St. Louis, Missouri, 6,397 votes. This is for the sample of the year. Milwaukee, Tyrese and his boy. That's my boy there, too. 6,288. Columbus, Ohio, Dr. Harris. They had 6,175. And Cincinnati, Ohio, they had 6,144. So listen, this stuff is real. This is for charity. Everybody putting up $500. Winner take the whole pot. But we're going to give my boy Tyrese from Milwaukee, we're going to give him some money because he's the one have to count the votes. And this is a lot of counting, a lot of votes, you know. We're talking about over 30,000 people have voted in different areas. So next Sunday, I have the new tally. Let me read this again. Benton Harbor Sambos are leading 6,822. And I know we're going to be fighting all the way down to the end. Ain't nobody going to out-sample my samples. I don't care who you are, who you think you are, you not going to out-sample my sample. My letter C, when they read her bio, they go nuts. Then we had the mayor, the Nation of Islam brother. If anybody know Minister Louis Farrakhan, give him a call. This is getting outrageous. He taking credit for the water. He had nothing to do with it. No part of it. No part of it. And and they had the nerve to put an article in the final call about him. Sickening. It's sickening. But it's on you because you allow it. He was willing to let the people in Benin Harbor die for these white devils. Anyhow, let me move on. St. Louis, 6,397. Milwaukee, Wisconsin, 6,288. Columbus, Ohio, 6,175. Cincinnati, Ohio, 6,144. That is the total February the 4th. We will get the report again on February the 8th. But I'm telling y'all right now, ain't nobody going to beat my samples. I got these samples are professional. And there's so many here, they run in packs. They're like a wolf pack or something. These samples, they be forming all at the mouth. You should see them. When they get around white folks, they start buck dancing and you know, trying to find a booty to kiss as long as it's white, they happy. Oh, this thing is almost ridiculous. But I'm going to end it on this note. Don't forget to email me. That's BANCO9342 at sbcglobal.net. And all you have to do is say, you're voting for Benton Harbor Sambles. And on that note, I'm going to bring in my good friend, the one and only. There's not even two of this person. You know, I love her dearly. And I know who she is. That's why it's so, so important. Belinda Parker Brown, talk to me. Tell me what's going on in your world.
Hey, I just love it when you go ahead and let them know the real truth, the whole truth and nothing but the truth, that your Sambos got them all beat, Pastor Pinckney. I'm rooting for you. And because I know those people you talking about. You know, I know when I work with Marcus Muhammad at the high school there, and I also know my leader, Marletta Seitz, when she ran for the county commissioner, and her son became a pastor because his daddy died, you know, how those people do, you know. So I'm rooting for your Sambos, and I'm telling you, I don't know, Ohio and Texas, they're going to be close because I know some of them people too.
And we're such a small city. See, that's my problem, you know. But everybody is excited because, you know, I don't think nobody gonna outsample my Sambos. My Sambos are real Sambos. They was made by World Food Corporation.
Right. I know you got the tag on the back of their collar that they was made by World Food Corporation. And I remember, Pastor Pinckney, when we protested against Whirlpool, you know, how those Sambos, they got so, I mean, they were so angry with us because we marched when Whirlpool was trying to take over the lake there that had been donated to the people, the citizens in Benton Harbor. And the Sambos got so mad with us. We had to, you know, we was fighting against Whirlpool still in the you know, the park and everything from the black community. And we had to turn around and fight them to help them, you know. So, but anyhow, Pastor Pinckney, I know we got a good show today, and I have a special guest on with me, and I'm looking forward to him introducing himself. But, you know, I really appreciate this opportunity. So for us to come on here and talk about the criminalization of the black and brown doctors. And when you say they are killing us, you know, not just in the courtrooms, lynching us in the courtrooms, they're doing a whole lot more, Pastor Pinckney. You know, they're shooting us in the back, you know, unarmed, and now what they're doing is really marginalizing the patients of these doctors, because their doctors are being told to report to prison. Doctors are being told that they can no longer practice medicine, getting their license taken away from them, destroying their families, and putting them in prison, Pastor Pinckney. What is going on? And I have Dr. Norman Clement on the line with me today, and he's going to tell us a little bit about the seriousness of this matter. Dr. Norm, are you there?
Yeah. Say, how are you doing?
Hey, how you doing, Doc?
This is Norman Clement. I'm a pharmacist. I'm a dentist. I write the blog youarewithinthenorms.com, YOURE withinthenorms.com. Like I said, I'm a pharmacist, a dentist. I'm originally from Detroit, Michigan. And
all right.
Did you
happen to go to Wayne State?
No. I went to high school all the way to Detroit, and Detroit to Wofford High School. Then I went there from Florida A&M University, and I studied pharmacy. I went to Florida A&M to be in the Florida A&M marching band, but, you know, I ended up in pharmacy. That's a good thing. Came back to Detroit, and then I went back to Florida, and then I came back again to Detroit to go to dental school at the University of Michigan. So I finished dental school at the University of Michigan School of Dentistry, and I went back and practiced in Tallahassee, Florida, and then eventually I ran into what we call targeting, where our procedures were criminalized. You know, at that time they were attacking black doctors on Medicaid fraud. But just to move along here, we fought that battle, and then I, being a pharmacist, I had a pharmacy, and we specialized in treating patients or taking care of patients who were needed control medications and were sick. So as a result, we got targeted by the Drug Enforcement Agency, as we've seen this happening all over the country under this war, the war on drugs. And I can tell you, Pastor, the war on drugs, you know, that's just a little bit about that. The war on drugs has been a war on the black community and our black doctors,
right,
and the methodology that's been used to strip our community and our professional people of generational wealth. This is targeted design. Richard Nixon originally targeted this war on drugs and set up the Drug Enforcement Agency to go after uppity, arrogant Negroes like you and I, in order to destroy the civil rights movement. And this war has continued, and it has now continued on to our medical profession and our doctors, in that medications that are FDA-approved treatments for our specialists, especially our people who specialize in surgery and oncology, are being criminalized for the work that they do. And you can read about this in You're Within the Norms. And Belinda Parker Brown and her group have been, LIU, have been helpful, have been advocates and trying to expose this injustice that's been going on. And believe it or not, we've ran into one of the biggest problems that we've had, and you talk about Uncle Thomas's and we Uncle, what do you call them, Sambo?
Sambo.
All right, right. I call them, I have a word, I call them filtered Negroes. And we've had a heck of a time with people in black media, believe it or not, that have fought us harder than they fought than the DEA. And what the DEA has done in the United States Department of Justice, they are arresting doctors, throwing them in jail, physicians, for practice, simply practicing medicine. And we've exposed this, and we've tried to put we've gone out and been advocates and tried to expose this injustice around the country, and we've met resistance basically from a lot of black folks. But we continue to fight on because this is a way that our community has been systematically decimated. Well, if you want to exterminate a people, then one of the things you can do is target their health care providers to make it impossible for them to get health care. So you want to run around here and talk about, well, you know, we need better mental health. We need better black women are dying from childbirth. Well, yeah, sure they're going to die. I'm sure people are going to have terrible mental health. When you throw the doctors, the very same people are there to treat them for their health care needs when you throw them in prison for treating them. And that is not being discussed. And the ravages this thing has resulted into and stuff. And we are classified, you've heard the saying before, drug dealers in white coats. Drug dealers, they love that saying. And we have learned to fight back and said we are being attacked by a bunch of Klansmen without their white robes dressed in their finest men's warehouse suits. They are prosecutors and they are federal judges that sit on the bench that have systematically designed to go after successful. They're targeting our success. The brown and black doctors all around the country, Jewish women especially, they go after. And stuff. We got doctors now for practicing medicine are serving 25 and 30 years in prison. In prison. And the system is so rigged that you are not even permitted to present evidence in your defense. Simple medical procedure. They use these what we call these subject matter, and I'll leave that word alone. To the so-called experts, these criminals, these Klansmen, these racists, these bigots, to then testify again, call the medical expert, people like Timothy King out of Indiana. And we've exposed these people, people like Don Sullivan, who is a pharmacist that works for the Ohio State University, and he specializes in going after black doctors, black pharmacies. His name is Don Sullivan. And what we have done, and they attacked my pharmacy, Pronto Pharmacy, in Tampa, Florida, because I'm living here in Tampa, Florida. And we were in practice 11 years. They came and raided our pharmacy, okay? In 2019, essentially shut down my business. I lasted another 2 years and stuff. Took my control stuff, accused me of manufacturing and of control medications, oxycodone and hydromorphone. I don't know how the heck you can do that, okay? But accused us of manufacturing it, found us, took us to a kangaroo court. We went to that court, just wouldn't allow us to present any evidence, and then turn around and then use that to find us responsible and take our controlled substance in a civil court. Mm-hmm. And then they were going to try me in a criminal court. And then my attorney says, you can't ever win, Norm. You can't win. You got to create a blog. And we created this blog, and so we started hearing from people all over the world. Well, guess what, Reverend? Two weeks ago, now I was under criminal investigation. Belinda Barker Brown will tell you this. 2 weeks ago, I get a call from my attorney. Oh, yeah, the DEA called, and they decided they want to give you back all the equipment they seized from you.
What about the writers?
I don't have the control suddenly, but they never charged me with anything, and I never lost my pharmacy license. Never. Never lost any. In fact, we're going to come after. But what they're doing is targeting our assets. This is not about, you know, the first thing they come in, they want to know why I was in the golf club. They want to know why I travel all over the world. They wanted to know that they see that I have a lot of hobbies and stuff. stuff like that. I give donations. Like I gave a donation to the University of Michigan School of Dentistry under the Lee Jones Funds for promotion of Black Equity Fund for $62,000. I gave $70,000.
Mm-hmm.
And I donated money to the, I just, that time I did it, it was the right thing to do. Florida A&M University, I've donated money to, because I went to school there. The National mm-hmm. Dental Association donated. my fraternity was getting ready to lose the fraternity house down in Tallahassee, Florida. And I went in and gave Cap Alpha Psi, Tallahassee Alumni Chapter, $75,000. Said, hey, keep this house. My attitude was like, it was the right thing to do. Just don't mess up my money. Just don't mess up. I always told people that, I'm not going to sit over there and brag and use this stuff. But we did. That's what was targeted. And then when you look around the country, they target people's houses. They can use civil forfeiture laws to see your houses, your cars, and
they
look for
the
airplane. Yes, ma'am.
Yeah, Dr. Nunes, you hit the nail right on the head, Pastor Pinckney, and that's what we really want to expose, is that anytime a Black person, have a successful business and work hard to become a doctor or a pharmacist or a dentist or whatever, they sacrifice, their life to acquire, the freedom of liberty and, what our Constitution, say that here in the United States of America, we can work hard and accomplish, our success and become whatever we want to be and become very wealthy if we work hard and, apply ourselves. And this is what they're doing, with the Black doctors. The first thing they want to do, they want to come in and they want to seize all of their property, restraint on their bank account, all of their, resources or, whatever they have in money, in the case of one doctor, they even took, her wedding rings, jewelry, anything of value, okay, and seized it.
Without being indicted. This is, they can do this right now to you.
They
say, Pastor,
this
you
is
are
what
a drug
they do.
Dealer, and you got under civil forfeiture law. They don't have to go to trial.
Right.
And people don't know this.
And this is, hey, Belinda, this is what I've been telling people. I've been telling people this for the last 15, 20 years. And, Belinda, you know that.
Yeah.
See, the thing is, they got Black people so intimidated that they won't speak up. They won't say a word until something happened to them. Then they want to fight. It's too late.
Right.
Reverend, here's what we call that. We wrote some articles. We call it pulsification. Pulsification.
Right.
The seed, your acid, nothing. In other words, you can live the dream, but you can't have the dream. You're not allowed to.
There you go. I like that.
Right. So this is pulsification. And pulsification, your rights, they can violate your rights as a so-called citizen at any point, any time. And we got videos of prosecutors. In fact, there's a very interesting video. You go to our blog, You're Within the Norms, okay, of a prosecutor. His name is Derek Keyes. It's called DJ. And the prosecutor says, we can have prosecutorial tools which we can create to arrest doctors, and the federal government uses these to attack, to then seize civil forfeiture assets and use it to identify civil forfeiture assets and take your property. And DEA agents are in here today are talking about, we go after people, look at their jet skis and their automobiles, and most importantly, look at our last article that we published. And people don't know about this one. People need to know about this. They have been seizing, particularly targeting Black men at airports. There are videos. Type into Google, Black men target at airports by DEA. They can stop you any. They stop you in at the airport and steal your money. One guy got $39,000 stolen from. Look at this stuff, and nobody says a thing. And we want to tell ourselves that we were a democracy when in fact we're no more better than what happened in Germany. In terms of the Jews. In fact, that's where the Germans got this stuff from, this Nuremberg laws and stuff, from Jim Crow. And if you look at Jim Crow, in fact, what people don't understand is that there were Americans that sat at the table in 1934 in Germany, the so-called eugenicists that were at the Jim Crow, at the Nuremberg conference, and the Nuremberg laws were based upon where? American Jim Crow in the South and in Benton Harbor and all that stuff where the three, whatever it is, what I forgot they call that place in Benton Harbor, the three beers or the three something, but out that area. But that's where they got that stuff from. If we want to talk about we're any different, we're no different in this country. Our property, and right now, my property, it was seized and returned back to me. The only reason they gave it back to me is because I raised sand about it. And I would say something else, but I raised pure, and wrote these articles. We wrote these articles, a whole group of us, you know, black, white, all these physicians and doctors and stuff, that we formed a coalition, and we began to identify them, and they've kept quiet back down. We, the DEA, United States Department of Drug Enforcement, is nothing but a criminal enterprise of the United States government. And we have been able to show that they're not in there stopping the drug trade in the cartel. In fact, as they say, you read this stuff. They're in bed with the cartels. You know what I mean by in bed. You know, with the cartels, honey.
Oh, absolutely. Well, I agree with you. But look, I got something for you. I got some doctors not only in Detroit, but other parts who are activists, and especially Belinda Parker Brown, Dr. Tams, and he's going to be on my show tomorrow at 1:00. Can you come on for a few minutes, and I'm going to hook you two up, because he's a real, and I want you to listen to him talk first, and I'm going to let you. You and him meet through this, and then what we're going to do, we're going to form a coalition called 10 different, listen to this, 10 different cities are going to hear your conversation today. Yeah. It's going to be especially South. You know, we got Houston, we got St. Louis, we got Milwaukee, we got Cincinnati, Ohio, and we got Columbus, Ohio, we got South Carolina, Charleston, Durham, and also Oklahoma City. So we got, you know, these radio, this is going to be played. So you get, but I want to connect you with some more doctors, more people who think like you to make this thing happen. Because, and then, anytime you want to come on the show, you got it.
Oh, thank you. And let me say something else. You talk about Columbus, Ohio. There was a gentleman in Columbus, Ohio, very successful pharmacist named Harold Eugene Fletcher. Okay? Knowing this guy opened up a pharmacy, and he had been there for this. So the DEA came after him, okay? And they used this guy, Don Sullivan, all right? And the guy, even in the court, he lied so bad, even the judge determined that he had, that he was lying, okay? But he ran out of money, all right? So he
that's a problem.
Forcing the plea, and he did 2 years. For nothing, a pharmacist, 2 years, Harold Eugene Fletcher. So what we've decided to do when they return my material back, we're going to be filing a $40 lawsuit against the Drug Enforcement Agency of this country. And what we are asking is that the registration, what we call controlled substance registration, it's a little complicated here, but the controlled substance registration process and the identification and classification of controlled medication, we're talking about morphine, Ativan, those would be the benzodiazepines, and the sedatives, the amphetamine, that port of class, which we call FDA-approved control medications, all right? That whole process is now under the DEA. What we've said is that whole thing should be removed from the Drug Enforcement Agency to the United States Office of Surgeon General, because they know medicine. What the DEA has done, they are nothing but cops. They are rogue cops. And since when do cops and law enforcement dictate the practice of medicine? They may be good at beating up George Floyd, but how in the world are you going to tell a doctor how to prescribe certain medication? Then go to court, and this is where our courts become corrupt. They then turn around and say the doctors are over-prescribing without defining the disease or the disease state of the patient. And this is what we've been really hit. We had a doctor down in Louisiana. He's just a small one. And Belinda Parker Brown she worked on this case, okay? And this guy saved thousands of lives. The government needed him for COVID crisis. They needed him so bad. They said, oh, please, he was an infectious.
During Katrina, he saved
thousands of people.
Did he?
And his name was Chiba. Oh, God.
Wow.
This guy is so.
Hey, listen, we're about to run out of time on that, Belinda Parker Brown. I got to bring in my next guest. But I tell you what I want y'all to do. I want to introduce you to Dr. Tams and Dr. Long. Dr. Tams out of Benton Harbor, and Dr. Long is out of Detroit. And I want to introduce you to them. If you come on and listen to him talk, and I want to set you up with him tomorrow so you and him can talk and change some ideas. And look, I'm going to tell you this. Anytime you feel like coming on, let me know ahead of time, and I can schedule you and make sure that you get some time to talk about this.
Right.
I'll make sure he gets your contact information, but we're talking about the criminalization of the black and brown doctors and the weaponization of the criminal justice system to put these doctors in prison and destroy their lives and compromise their patients. So, Pastor Pinckney, thank you so much for allowing us to
come
and Doc, hey, Doc, now we're all connected. Let's make it happen.
All right. We're going to make sure you get all Dr. Norm's information so that you can share it with the listeners, Pastor Pinckney. I'll text it to you.
All right, do that. Make sure you text it to me. All right, y'all take care. Hey, good, way to go. I appreciate you, my brother. I'm with you 100%. All right. It's going down. Let's go. Gloria, talk to me.
I'm here, Reverend Pinckney. Greetings, everyone. Reverend Pinckney, it sounds like they have a fight against the melanin, people of color. And talking about the doctors, well, there's quite a few soul sisters that are like me. We're targeted individuals. We are targeted with space and military weaponry. This is what they use in the military. This is what they use on us. And you wonder, like, well, where does this come from? Who does this? How does this happen? Is it a spy in the country? Well, here's a little information about it. The Obama administration has quietly approved a substantial expansion of the terrorist watch list system, authorizing a secret process that requires neither concrete facts or irrefutable evidence. To designate an American or foreigner as a terrorist, according to a key government obtained by The Intercept, that's the newspaper online that I got this information from, The Intercept. Over the years, Obama and Bush administration have fiercely resisted disclosing the criteria of placing names on the database through the guidelines are officially labeled as unclassified. In May, this was done in 2013, in May, Attorney General Eric Holder at the time he voted, or he invoked the state secrets privilege. So this is a big secret to our government, but this is what they're doing to us. They're sending millions of dollars overseas, billions of dollars, especially to Ukraine, because most of them have bio labs in Ukraine and throughout the other parts of the world, that we're paying the price. So I'm asking that all your listeners wake up, start talking to people, because we're going to label you as Sambos. If you know what's going on and you don't say anything, then you're just as guilty as the people that are doing it.
Absolutely.
So,
and you are 100% correct, you know, and that's the problem. That's why, you know, it was taking us 450 years to get where we at today, and we ain't nowhere. We ain't nowhere.
No,
and it's going to get worse.
What I have discovered, they have created these Greek from the schools. They're so this, they're so that. But that's the boule. That's the black boule. Those are the gatekeepers. Those are the, I'm not going to talk about this. No, they don't. Oh, no. No, we're not going to talk about it. So it's very difficult out here. But the targeted individual, we're the pioneers. We're the guinea pigs. We're the experiments. There's no emotions. They want to merge us with machines. And the reason they're working on us now, but they might be working on you tomorrow. So until we all start speaking up and talking out, because we're in the age of Aquarius, and during this time, nothing can be hidden and everything will be revealed. You see, they got T.D. Jakes. He had a big old...
Yeah, he got them all. All of them going to come out. All of them. And this is what we better understand. We better keep our eye on these pastors. They're not like they used to be. You got a whole different group of pastors now.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yes, you do. Mm-hmm. Yes, you do.
People need to know about target individuals. See, I remember when we first started off, how everybody thought it was a big joke. They, you know, some of the stuff, the comments they made. Now they realize it's reality.
Right.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Yes. Like, this is the Antichrist, the beast system, technology, the mark of the beast. Everyone was looking for the mark. There's the mark of the beast.
Yeah.
So until
until
everyday citizens, you don't have to be targeted to speak about this.
No,
but you better do it now, because they're in the schools, they're in everything.
The hospitals, everywhere, doctor's office. And look, here's the thing. You don't have to do it for yourself. Do it for the children, for the future. See, a lot of times people say, oh, I can handle that. But you can't handle this. This stuff is real.
No, you can't handle it. I know a few people that committed suicide behind this. That was my first thought when it started with me in 2009. I had no clue, no nothing. There was no letter written to me. They didn't say, hey, we're putting you on the watch list because none of that. They just did it. And then we had to find our way. We were like fish out of water until we found our way. We found Derek Robinson. At that time, he had Freedom from Covert Harassment and Surveillance, PAX International now. But we must join these organizations, donate, so we can get out of this. They want everyone to be turned into robots, transhumanism. And that way the elite can tell you what to do, when to do it, because they just put a something in this guy's brain, a chip. So he doesn't have to go to the computer. He can just stand there and talk to the computer, and the computer, crap, that's bull. You know, so, so until everyone has to chime in, ask your congressman, hey, what about this? Because they don't think you know, so they're not going to talk about it.
And Gloria?
And there isn't, yes.
we got to ask everybody to speak up and talk about this stuff, because this stuff is out of control. You see, we got all these Sambos running around here working with them against the people. We got it all. We got everything that you could think of working against us. But we the ones
yes.
have to stand up to these people. If we don't stand up to these people, it's not going to happen. If we don't stand up and fight back, and like I said, at all costs. To me, I made the supreme sacrifice because I know these devils. I know what they'll do. And
uh-huh.
they got black folks working with them.
The
right on.
Keepers.
Look, mm-hmm. absolutely. We are out of time. Look, here's what I'm going to do. Every first Sunday, I want you to come on and say a few words for me.
I sure will.
All right, because we're going to keep it out there.
Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed.
Absolutely, absolutely. If you talk to Derek, tell Derek I say hey, and tell him I want him to come on and talk a little bit too, because we're going to tell the world about this, these TI, and make sure that they understand the importance of it. But on that note, I got to let you go, and I just want to let everybody know, don't forget to vote. You send an email to BANCO9342@sbcglobal.net. And you said, I want to vote for Benton Harbor Sambos, all three. My letter seeks the Queen Bee, and I do mean Bee, and the mayor of all Sambos, Muhammad, Marcus Muhammad, and the scumbag of all Sambos, Dwayne C. All you have to do is you can say one word. I'm voting for all three, and just send me an email. I know that Houston going to be ready for me, and I know that St. Louis, is that they're not happy that we took the lead. But I told them they're not going to beat my Sambos. I got the real deal. These Sambos are real. I do. I mean, these people are so real, man. The guy even got his wife Lance. He's going to get up there laying for him. You know, that takes a real Sambo. But look,
mm-hmm.
on that note, I got to let everybody go. And remember this, nobody is going to out-sample Reverend Pinckney Sambos here in Benton Harbor. And I will see you all next week. And also tomorrow, I'm having a show tomorrow. At 1 o'clock, I'm going to have Dr. Tanz on. And those of you who know a little bit about him and listen to him, he got a lot of wisdom, a lot of knowledge, and he's a strong soldier. So we need him. And on that note, love you all. Have a great Sunday. And happy Black History Month. It's 29 days this month.